Nidhi just presented. Here is the adolescent vaccination schedule. And again, the vaccines are broken down by the newer vaccines, Tdap, HPV, and meningococcal conjugate vaccine. Then there's vaccines for certain high-risk groups, and then vaccines that are considered catch-up for teens that may have not been vaccinated when they were children. And again, here are the current estimates of coverage for adolescents 13 to 17 years of age. And although this provides us the current vaccination status of adolescents, it doesn't really tell us when adolescents receive their vaccines. And that's important as we start to implement these new vaccine recommendations. We really need to know how much of this coverage is actually due to vaccination during adolescence. So my study objectives were to determine the ages at which adolescents receive their recommended vaccines. And I used the National Immunization Survey teen module. And as Nidhi mentioned, this was conducted in the fourth quarter of 2006 and uses the random digit dial telephone methodology. And the teens included in the survey were born between October of 1988 and February of 1994. And again, there was a provider record check component to the survey. So for my analysis, I actually limited the analysis to the birth cohorts of 1989 to 1993, although the survey includes some teens that were born in 1988 and 1994. The sample sizes were extremely small, so I limited it to just 1989 to 1993. And the vaccines I evaluated are slightly different than what was published in the MMWR. I looked at two or more doses of measles-containing vaccine, whereas what we just previously saw was MMR specifically. I included hepatitis B and varicella among those teens who did not have a reported history of disease. And I also included TD and Tdap. And then I looked at meningococcal vaccine. So this could include the conjugate and the polysaccharide. My outcome measures were up to date at specific age markers that included 10 years. And, you know, defining age markers for coverage can always be complicated. So what this means is this is coverage up to but not including the 11th birthday. So it's right before they turned 11. I also looked at 12 years, which is up to but not including the 13th birthday. And then at the time of the survey, which the age will be different depending on the individual, because we included teens 13 to 17 years of age. I also calculated cumulative percent up to date by birth cohort, and then the percent vaccinated at 11 or 12 years of age. So this first slide shows the estimated coverage at the specific age markers. And you can see coverage through age 10 is, I guess that's orange. Coverage through age 12, the incremental increase is shown in blue, and then at the time of the survey is shown in red. So for measles and hepatitis B and varicella, the majority of these vaccines were actually administered before age 11. And for measles, 78% of the teens had actually received both doses before they turned 11. So we can see that the childhood program is very successful. There is some, you know, a small proportion that actually got vaccinated after they turned 11. But what's also important is, like, for hepatitis B, although we reached 81% coverage, there's still almost 20% of teens that are susceptible. For TD and Tdap and meningococcal vaccine, the majority of the vaccination occurred after age 11, which is what we would expect because of the way the recommendations are written. And of course, coverage for meningococcal is quite low because the survey was conducted the first year after the vaccine was recommended. So this just shows us overall what's happening, but when you look at the birth cohorts, things are slightly different. What this first slide shows cumulative cover by 1 year age increment. So on the x-axis we have 1 year age increments, and on the y-axis it's cumulative coverage. And we have each line represents a different birth cohort, starting with 1989 in purple. And remember, these teens were 17 years old at the time of the survey. And then going through 1993, which these teens were 13 years old at the time of the survey. So starting with the 1989 birth cohort, there actually wasn't a lot of vaccination occurring during early childhood. And by age 10 years, 38% had received all three doses. But we do see an increase in vaccination occurring at ages 11 and 12, which is good because that's what the ACIP recommendations were, to have that preteen visit at age 11 and 12 and get caught up with their vaccines. But you can see there were still some teens that did not get vaccinated in this birth cohort. And even after age 12, there's really not an increase in vaccination activity occurring with this birth cohort. And by age 17, 78% had received all three doses, which means there's a lot more teens that are entering adulthood susceptible to hepatitis B. However, with the 1993 birth cohort, we see there was actually quite high coverage during early childhood. And by age 6, 80% of these kids had received all three doses. And you see very little vaccination occurring at ages 11 and 12. So although overall coverage for this birth cohort is quite high, again, there are still some teens susceptible because they haven't been vaccinated. And it's that 20% that we need to figure out how we're going to get these kids brought up to date, and that we can't just think that, oh, all kids have received hepatitis B because of the infant recommendations. There still may be some teens being missed. This next slide just shows measles-containing vaccine. You see a big jump in coverage with completing two doses at age 5. This is somewhat consistent with school entry requirements. But there's not a lot of vaccination really occurring afterwards. And definitely not a lot of vaccination occurring in adolescents. But for some reason, the 1990 cohort had the lowest vaccination coverage overall. We're not really sure what is happening with this group. And then here's varicella. Again, coverage with each new birth cohort, coverage is increasing during the early childhood ages, but not a lot of vaccination occurring during adolescence. So now for actually the vaccines that are recommended for adolescents, for TD and Tdap, you really don't see differences between the birth cohorts. And even during ages 11 and 12, with the 1993 birth cohort, we do see more vaccination activity occurring at this age, but still coverage is somewhat low. And it really, when teens are getting TD or Tdap, it's occurring at older ages. And I just threw a meningococcal vaccine, although, again, this survey was done 1 year after the vaccine was recommended, so we weren't expecting to see high coverage with this vaccine. But I just wanted to show for completeness so that with the 1993 birth cohort, we are seeing more vaccination at ages 11 and 12. And finally, this is shows the percent of eligible teens who received at least one dose of vaccine while they were 11 or 12 years of age. So again, these are teens that when they turned 11, they had not completed the vaccination series for the vaccine of interest. And so ideally, we would like to see 100% of these teens getting the vaccine. Well, for hepatitis B, with the 1989 cohort, actually a lot of these eligible teens actually did get a dose of vaccine. 60% actually received a dose of hepatitis B when they were 11 or 12, which is encouraging because we knew physicians were, taking those recommendations seriously to bring, catch these teens up. But you see a decrease, like with the 1993 cohort, around 25-30% of the eligible teens actually received a dose of hepatitis B. And I think this needs to be investigated a little bit more. Is it that they're not coming in for a visit, or they're coming in but the doctors are not reviewing their status for hepatitis B? And you see a little bit of variation with measles and varicella. But fortunately, with TD and Tdap, we are seeing an increase in vaccination at ages 11 and 12. And finally, I looked at the vaccination dates and tried to look at unique visits where a vaccine occurred and to see the proportion of teens that were, again, receiving vaccines at ages 11 and 12 or after. What we found is that 30% of the teens in the survey received no vaccine on or after age 11 years. And this is concerning because we don't know, is it that they didn't get the vaccine because they didn't make a visit to the doctor's office, or they made the visit but the doctor just had a missed opportunity? And so I think this needs to be investigated further and try to find out how do we capture this group. Although 70% did receive at least one vaccine on or after age 11, and the average number of visits was 1.8, and the range was actually from 1 to 7. So there were some teens who made 7 visits and received vaccines at each visit. And I was a little shocked by that. I thought that was quite high. When I looked at these, at their vaccines, actually, they needed everything. And unfortunately, they didn't. It didn't look like the physician was taking the advantage of each visit to administer more than one vaccine at a time. So they had 7 unique visits to receive a vaccine. And then 46% had at least one visit with a vaccination at age 11 to 12 years. So half the kids are coming in, but it's that other half that we also need to bring in as well. So some of the limitations to this data is there is potential for misclassification. You know, if providers are not identified or they did not respond, or if they did not have the complete vaccination history, you know, we may have some missing information. There's also bias inherent to telephone surveys, as Nitti explained in her presentation, that there may be some household non-response bias, and we exclude non-telephone households, so there may be some bias remaining there. But in summary, less than half of the teens received a vaccine at the recommended age of 11 to 12 years, and this is definitely an area we need to improve. High vaccination coverage for measles, hepatitis B, and varicella among the recent birth cohorts is due to successful vaccination during early childhood, but the decreasing in Hep B vaccination among eligible teens is somewhat concerning, and I think we just need to remind people that although, yes, we have high infant coverage, there still may be some teens who are susceptible and were not vaccinated when they were infants. And then also the increase in TD and Tdap vaccination at 11 to 12 years is encouraging. I think, you know, these recommendations are being implemented, but the majority of doses are administered after age 12, so we just need to really work on that 11 to 12-year-old visit. And I'd also like to acknowledge my colleagues who helped me with this presentation, Nitti, Jane, and Mary McCauley. Thank you.